Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Matthews, and I'm excited to be here. It's a busy season. It's a fun season. I've been traveling around, seeing a lot of pumps and equipment, you know, just getting to meet some cool people. So I've brought you today Jill Davis, who is amazing. I just met her when I was in Chicago with the Submersible Wastewater Pump Association, this group, and we went to a water reclamation center, and that was really cool, but not as cool as Jill. Jill, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So Chicago was amazing, largest wastewater plant in the world. So that was pretty cool to get to visit. So can't top that. But so I went to school, civil engineer, and right out of school, I became a regulator per se. I worked for the Tennessee Department of Environment and got a lot of experience with the wastewater regulations and whatnot. Then about 10 years later, went to work at a utility board managing the water and wastewater side of a small utility. While I was there, did a really neat project with low pressure grinder pumps and followed it for several years. And as a part of that, sort of led me to some different directions. So I never really liked speaking in front of people. In school, I was always the shy one, would, you know, evaluate my grades before I had to do a book report and take the automatic C if I didn't have to. And so about 15 years ago, decided I needed to better myself. So I'm going to take this project I did with low pressure sewer, and I'm going to go share at different meetings and whatnot, conferences, and I did that. And then I started sharing with peers and going and talking to other folks, city council members, and sharing about what pressure sewer is and how our project, our special project, was taking a gravity sewer system that was failing and replaced it with pressure sewer to eliminate the inflow and infiltration. That was our issue. Then about 6 years ago, came to work for E1 doing that sort of on a full-time basis. So what was one of my weaknesses I was trying to work on became what my role is today. So sort of an awkward change to where I am today.
Yeah, I think that was such a great story, and just really getting outside your comfort zone, a leap really into a whole nother activity. One thing that stood out to me in this is that, you know, you're just kind of doing this work, right, in the wastewater treatment industry, and then you had to tell people about it, right? And that's really what made the difference. It was telling what you were working on and people understanding that value that was there, which led you into this career.
Right. So I guess sort of how I got into the environmental career, sort of the same path, got out of school, why I chose to be an engineer. My father was a commercial contractor, and he thought that civil engineers were like the very top of the ladder. And that's what I was going to be when I grew up. So that's all from kindergarten up. I was going to be a civil engineer because that's what my father told me to be. But got out of school, you know, and went to work for the Department of Environment, a little bit different path than a lot of civil engineers.
And you did it. Well, first of all, congratulations.
You didn't really think that I'd be in the wastewater business, you know, when you're an 18-year-old kid, that's not really what you think. But I love it as far as, critical thinking and really wastewater, especially or water reclamation. It's taking a problem, and you have plenty of those problems every day. Prioritize them, and then how can you fix them, and how can you fix them in the most economical way? So I love wastewater treatment plants. The trip in Chicago was amazing because we got to see it on such a large scale. Yeah, that's my passion is as far as work goes, is, you know, the wastewater treatment and how to solve problems and make things work in a utility.
Yeah, and it really was neat. It was fascinating that it was built so long ago, and the how people have to think about it like that. They have to think about the big picture and lasting and the sustainability of everything. I know sustainability is kind of this new word for us, but it's not really. The process is absolutely, we've been working on that for a long time. And this was a great, great development showing, was it, almost 100-year-old pumps in service was amazing.
Absolutely. And the structures and the foresight to build the pipes large enough to last for a city to grow, just everything that goes about it. But, you know, I have to share just for young people that are listening, how I came to E1, to me is how important going to opportunities to meet other people and opportunities to collaborate together, going to conferences, going to meetings. So like I said, early on, I did this this project. I started sharing with people about this project, and I was at our local Kentucky-Tennessee meeting. I was in the exhibit hall visiting with the president of E1, and which I'd encourage everybody to do. Go to the exhibit hall floor and actually talk to people and just, you know, ask what they do, ask what their products are, and visit with them. But during that conversation, I was telling him what I was doing in Athens. He was telling me what they were doing, you know, as far as E1 was concerned. And he said, well, why haven't you come to work for E1 yet? And I said, because you haven't asked me yet. And he was just joking. And I was joking as well. And he took a step back and he looked at me. It's like, really? I'm like, well, yeah, you haven't asked me yet. And he said, well, let me get back with you on that. And 2 months later, I was working for E1. So just the connections you make at these different shows and how you can get involved and you can meet other people and see how they solve different problems that are probably the same problems that you have, just a great opportunity to meet people and just create friends for life and relationships that are like-minded people.
Yeah, I love that story so much. I can totally see you and George doing that, having that conversation. And he's such a leader too. And that's what I see from you already, even in this podcast, that natural leadership to kind of want to help the next generation or just really the people that are currently here, right, working that, you know, how do we encourage them to kind of take that next step, right? So I'm curious, we ask this a lot in some of my leadership groups, but what does leadership mean to you?
I look at leadership. You can be a leader and not necessarily in a leadership role. So there's good and bad leaders, but I always think of it as in the positive sense, like who do I want to follow and what's positive leadership to me? And one of the biggest is respect. So I want to have respect for, you know, my leaders and as a leader, I want to respect the folks that I work with and that are part of my team. So respect is a big piece of it. I feel like they should be able to guide me and inspire me, motivate me. And I want to do the same for others.
Respect that you said, how do you feel like, you know, someone is respecting you? What are the signals, I guess, for that?
I guess it's a communication piece when they feel comfortable sharing with me, sharing information, sharing issues, concerns. You can tell when, yeah, I mean, it's fairly obvious when somebody respects you and they think enough of you to speak to you. You know, when you're in the municipal world, when you're an owner, when you have a big project, you have a lot of friends, everybody's coming to visit and they want a little bit of piece of your, project. And, after the project's over, it's those different folks that come to you after the fact. How's it working? Or this is where I came to. And then you have those same folks that were trying to sell you something before. And when you don't have anything to buy, they're not around anymore. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that next piece of equipment you want to buy, do you go back to those folks that were, you know, that were friendly to you all along? Or do you go to those folks that are just there when they're trying to make a sale? That's not really the respect piece, but on our world, if you think about manufacturing, it's the folks that have been with me all along and they're there to help me and they listen and they share and communicate.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Just really to see that picture, that whole picture. It's about building relationships everywhere, right? And are they real? Are they genuine? Right. Do they really care for your success? And I do believe that is leadership. Someone actually, you know, giving you the space to speak your ideas and then also, you know, following up on that, right? Like, how are you doing with that project is probably a really great question that you like to hear from time to time, right?
Or you go, you meet with someone, or you see somebody somewhere. Hey, how are you? And you start to answer, and they're already walking away a different direction. It's like they didn't really want to talk to you. They just wanted to say hi and move on. And that's good too. But those folks that really show respect, they have a conversation with you. Or
absolutely, absolutely. So as you've been kind of going through this industry and passionate about it, what are kind of some of those biggest changes that you've seen through this kind of water industry?
Technology has been so huge. So I think back, I remember I was just out of school when the internet, you know, was just forming. And to think that we've gone from there to everything's on the internet. Think about the new materials that we have to work with and all of the technology that goes into a lot of the pumps and the parts and everything that we work with every day. On a female side, I joke with folks all the time that when I used to go to conferences and meetings, that would be the one time that I could go to the women's bathroom and there wouldn't be a line, but there'd be a line at the men's bathroom. And so I'd always laugh. This is my one win here. And that's changed. So now, you know, you see the women in the industry, and that's always nice because there's a nice opportunity to visit and have some camaraderie with other women in our industry.
Yeah, that's so important.
The biggest ones, yeah.
I interrupted you. I didn't hear what you
Sorry.
Said.
No, I think to me the training technology. I feel like our operators and the folks that actually use our equipment today are more educated. They've had more training, not on a full scale. There are folks out there that have been masters of the industry forever. But as far as, you know, coming from a utility standpoint, the operators, the new hires, I feel like they're better educated and they have more opportunity to make more money. It's seen as a legitimate career path now. And so you're really getting some good folks in there. But like I say, there were good folks there before. I don't want to take away from that because I learned so much when, you know, as I've come through the ranks. But overall, I think that new hires have more opportunities. And it's probably due to the technology. You know, we have the internet now. You don't have to travel somewhere to learn about something. You can learn about it online and just lots of opportunity.
Yeah, that's such a great point. There's all these certifications where you level up and it helps you generate more salary as well. And so there's a process in place, a system to educate and then reward the people as they're doing that education process too. I love that. What's on your wish list? What do you hope to see?
I like I like where we're coming with the collaboration and folks working together to see how we can improve the environment, improve the water world. So I like that it's not a competition. You know, years ago when I first started at the utility, the sort of the cities kind of would choose, and there'd be these, my city deserves this and my city has this, and we'd wrap our arms around what was ours instead of how can we serve our customers the best, our community, not even customers, how can we serve our community the best. So I like that we've moved that direction. I hope we continue to move to let's serve everybody that we can in the best way possible. So I enjoy the collaboration that we've already started and working towards, and I hope that the future generation, they continue that.
Yeah, that's great. And we are seeing that. We're seeing so much of that across sectors. Definitely the water sector, but also just collaboration as a whole. And I think it's because we need it, right? We need to solve some bigger issues. We need to, you know, really be more mindful of our waste and how we're affecting everyone. And so we have to talk through that.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you a couple of rapid fire questions. I didn't prepare you for these, but I'm always curious about this. What type of books do you read? Do you have a favorite book?
Oh my. So I like to be silly. I read so much because I still try to keep in touch with what's going on regulatory wise. So I wear myself out with that. But I love the Harry Potter books. I've read those to my girls, and then I continue to read them and watch the movies and go back. I just read the Blind Side. I love that story. I hate that right as I read Michael Orr's book, like his sort of story, which is a great story. All this comes up in the media right now. So sort of bad timing for me to that was such a great story. And
yeah, we love that in the movie with Sandra Bullock as well.
She's awesome. One.
What about music? What is your favorite music?
I guess I'm in Tennessee, so I'd have to say country music.
And absolutely. And then what is the best advice that you've ever received?
When I first started at the utility board, a couple of engineers told me that I was struggling because I take on too much. And they told me that I could either be a big picture manager and oversee everything, you know, to the best of my ability, or I could get in the weeds on just a few things. So I could do either, but I needed to choose one or the other. I couldn't do both. So their advice to me was to try to look at the big picture and then use my team to help me, you know, as a group, for us to focus on the smaller things and let them take care of it. So that was probably some of the best advice for me, is to step back and look at the big picture and not try to get in the nitty gritty of everybody's work.
Yeah, that's great advice, especially for our leaders out there, you know, to be able to see that vision and to delegate to others and put people in the place where they can use their strengths. So important. It's not always easy. It definitely takes some, you know, pull back on us, right? To, okay, you don't have to do it all. You're not getting valued by each task that you do, but as a whole, right?
Right. And I don't really like criticism. So I listen, and I've had to work real, you know, that's a piece of working in, you know, your life, is to listen to what somebody has to say. They're only trying to help you, and step back and think about what they're saying, and don't be defensive, you know, try to listen. So that was some criticism that I got, and I tried to do my best and to make myself aware of where I was, you know, being a little bit too much detail on different aspects of what was going on.
Yeah. I remember having to tell myself, if it's not wrong, you do not need to correct them.
Absolutely.
It's not, maybe not exactly like you would do it, but if it's not wrong. Okay. So my last one is a little different, and I think I want to focus in on the water industry. What would you tell a young person coming into this industry? What advice would you give them?
Go to, you know, try to make as many peer relationships that you can. To me, there's so much out there that the young people can learn. Go to the different conferences, go to the exhibit hall, visit with the folks. They're not going to try to sell you something. They just want to visit and tell you about their products. So gives you a chance to learn who the different folks are. Get involved in your organizations, because like I say, that's a great way to build relationships, and you can ask them for advice. There have been many times our community, we have about 15,000 people in our city. And if we would need a part, if you know the different people in the different communities, you can call them and ask, would you have this that we can borrow? Or have you run into this problem? And they can give you somebody that they've used or help you along the way. So making those relationships, get all the certifications you can. If you're in wastewater, you try to get your water, you know, what water certification you can without the experience, or however you can better yourself, and always volunteer. That's what I always did. I always volunteered for everything.
Yeah. And take that chance. Say, yes, I like that. Absolutely. I'd like that. Consider me. How about that? It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I definitely talk to you forever. I am excited about getting to see you in November, if not before. I think I might see you before, but for EPIC, the Empowering Pumps and Industry Conference is November 8th and 9th. And SWAPA that's the Submersible Wastewater Pump Association, is going to do trainings on the 8th. And then we're going to have also a panel discussion on the 9th with a lot more keynotes and roundtables and labs and exhibits on the 9th. So I'm excited about that. Thank you for participating in that and really just training. I know that SWAPA is really focused on that education part. And I know E1 just from this conversation and really knowing George and his team developing leaders and really taking them to the next level. It's so wonderful to see that. Anything else that you want to leave our listeners with, Jill?
I'm looking forward to empowering women in Chicago.
Yes.
October 5th. There you go. So
that's yes, I knew I was going to see you before that. I couldn't put it in my mind there, but yes, Empowering Women is going to be amazing. We're sold out for the conference portion. And then of course we want everybody to come and support our award winners at the gala and the fashion show. So y'all, if you want more information, please send me a message to either one of those. And then I guess just, until next time, everybody, be empowering.